Chapter 2. Unequally Yoking with Family and Friends. After I came back to Christ in 2002 and started to prove my repentance by my works, conduct and actions, as in Matthew 3:8 and Acts 26:20, I started to see many specific truths in the Bible come alive in my life. If you are not experiencing these also, you are in great danger of eternal punishment. We know that, quote, friendship of the world makes you an enemy of God, end quote, as in James 4:4. So when you become a friend of Jesus, as in John 15:14, the world hates you. There are no exceptions, and this is where so many fail, as they can't bear to truly separate from friends, family, etc., as the Bible clearly states will happen when one becomes a true disciple of Christ. Let's look at two sets of verses speaking of what happens to immediate families. Luke chapter 12, verses 51 through 53. Quote, suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on the earth? I tell you nay, but rather division. From henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, end quote. Matthew 10, verses 34 through 36, quote, think not that I come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes, his enemies, shall be of his own household, end quote. The Bible says you must, quote, count the cost to become his disciple and pick up your cross daily. Jesus finished his work on the cross. Now you have to pick up yours. Most have not. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 through 28 say, quote, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yeah, and also his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? End quote. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25 says, quote, and he said to all of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gains the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway, end quote. One of the biggest strongholds I have seen is when the false Christian thinks they can live like the world and get along with everyone, including their unsaved family, when the Bible states exactly the opposite. When one truly comes to Christ, they must admit that their entire Catholic, Presbyterian, Seventh-day Adventist, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, Calvinist, Orthodox, Methodist, Baptist, etc., their entire family that are in those denominations has and is going to hellfire, lest the ones still alive repent from these false religious cults. God is no respecter of persons, and his children must not be either. God could not be more clear that his children are to not yoke with religious heretics and, of course, all non-believers in their sins and false religious doctrines. We are to witness and preach. We're to love them as he commanded by calling them out of sin into his marvelous light. The great majority will hate true Christians for displaying this true love as few heed his call. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Quote, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." This includes, of course, false Christians. "For what fellowship has righteousness, saints, with unrighteousness, sinners? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel?" Psalm chapter 26, verses 9 and 10 says, quote, "Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes," end quote. The Spirit of God that resides in true believers absolutely can't tolerate darkness, and vice versa. If you are truly living for and abiding in Christ, the world will hate you. The people who will despise you the most are the professing Christians. Why? Because they believe that they are eternally saved in sin and want the world and Jesus. This simply cannot be. 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 say, quote, "We know that whosoever is born of God does not sin, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness," end quote. John 15, verse 19 says, quote, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of this world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hates you," end quote. So many people literally hate their families as they yoke with them and never call them lovingly to repentance, meaning they, quote, love, end quote, their families in a worldly, tolerant, godless way based on feelings and not on God's commands. His love is true. 1 John 4, chapter 8 says, quote, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love," end quote. The world's love is false, and if you are not dwelling in him, obeying his moral law, you have not true love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, quote, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him," end quote. One hates their, quote, brother by not wanting them of eternal hellfire. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 says, quote, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen?" A true Christian loves his brother, his neighbor, and keeps his commandments. 1 John 5, 3 says, quote, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous," end quote. Do you truly love God by calling people to repentance, or do you have a false worldly love that pats them on the back in their sin as they're heading to judgment? Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31 says, quote, "And thou shalt love the Lord God with all thine heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these," end quote. They also hate their very own children by sparing the rod, as we see in Proverbs 13:24, and in also sending them to demonic public and private schools. A mother and father are to teach or train up, as in Proverbs 22:6, their child themselves, not have a wicked, quote, teacher train them, being indoctrinated with humanism, LGBT, quote, tolerance, 7 hours a day, 5 days per week. That is downright godless. Although the Bible says a man is worse than an infidel if he doesn't provide for his own, 1 Timothy 5:8, it also clearly says that even sinners take care of their own. This is nothing special, as the lost sinner knows to take care of their own family, etc. Let's examine these commands. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, quote, "But if any man provide not for his own, and specifically for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel," end quote. You will be judged eternally on how you take care of others. Luke 6, verse 33 and 34 says, quote, "And if you do good to them which do good back to you, what thanks do you have? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks do you have? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again," end quote. We can clearly see we must do both. Take care of our own and take care of others. You must have, quote, pure and undefiled religion, end quote. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, quote, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their time of affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." This chapter has revealed some harsh, loving truths that clearly spell out how you will be hated and divided, even from your own family, when you are truly a Christian. Now, have you counted the cost? Are you truly a disciple? Have you really given your all to Jesus, or are you sitting on the fence, which the devil owns? The Bible clearly commands you not to yoke with anyone that is not a Christian, especially those who profess to be one, but are in sin and or believe false doctrine. Yoke means to, quote, hang out and or to condone in their sin, have spiritual fellowship with, etc. I pray you heed this call. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 to 18. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or which part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty," end quote. Don't strengthen the hand of the wicked, lest you be an abomination like them. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21 says, quote, "Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered," end quote. Proverbs 17, 15 says, "He that justifies the wicked and he that condemns the just, even both are an abomination to the Lord."